Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Getting into an addiction is a process. Over time, the tentacles of temptation take hold. Getting out is also a process in which God shows His grace in leading us back to the right path. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. We're talking about addictions and how Christ can set us free. Here is Erwin Lutzer with some real-life advice for those who think they don't need God's grace.
So what does God do? God says, hey, you know, if you're going to speak about addictions, let me give you two guys who used to be addicted but are free now so that you can get some good information for your sermon. So I said to this guy, so what were you into? He said, you know, it began with marijuana. By the way, this idea that marijuana should be legal and everybody buying it, I don't know exactly how that fits into our definition of progress. But, you know, I'm maybe a minority here. But anyway, it begins with marijuana, then it goes into harder drugs, so there he is. Okay. And then the guy ahead said, hey, I was in prison. He didn't have to give me his pedigree. He said, name it, and I've done it. Okay. Now, how do these guys who are set free, who now work for the organization, and why is it that there are people in this organization who go there addicted and they end up being Bible teachers and leading others to the path of wholeness and help and deliverance? Isn't that wonderful? Well, you see, one of the things that God does is what He wants to do is through our struggles display grace. These guys understood grace a lot better than the goody two-shoes who may be listening to this message who think they don't need that much grace because they've done it all right and really, oh, sure, I messed up a little bit. Like a guy said, yeah, I've sinned. I remember taking my golf clubs and wrapping them around a tree. Oh, wow, I'm impressed with you. That's all you've done, huh? Folks, Jesus was not kind to people who didn't think they needed grace. And what he does is he motivates us by his blessed presence. I read a book about a man who struggled with pornography, and here's a couple of lines. He said, I remember many times sitting in front of my computer, and the question was to click or not to click. I felt the Holy Spirit tapping me on the shoulder. I knew better. I knew that the peace of God's presence is better than this rush that I would receive. God was nevertheless, even there, present with me, convicting me, yes, but have you ever wondered what the way of escape is? There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. So, what's the way of escape? He said, the way of escape was the presence of the living God. He became my rescue. And he said that I had to come to the point where the peace of God and my fellowship with God meant more to me than the pleasure that I would receive, the guilty pleasure, and that God ultimately and my fellowship with him would mean more. It is the presence of God right in the midst of our temptation. It is God's presence there that becomes the means of deliverance. The passion for God greater than our passion to sin. To learn that lesson, many failures along the way, I'm sure, but at the end of the day, we are motivated by the fact that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right. And now here's the most important thing you may hear from me in this message. When you sin, and when you're loaded with guilt, and when you are in a lifestyle that just increases your guilt, what do you do? You know what the big mistake many people do is? They run away from Jesus. Well, I can't handle the God thing right now. Someday when I'm out of this, someday when I'm doing better, then I can come to God. I clean myself up and I present myself to Him, and now He's better, and I'm better, and so now He says, oh, wow, now that you've cleaned yourself up, you're welcome. In the book I read, the woman was telling about a young woman who didn't feel right unless she was in another same-sex relationship, and how she had this condemnation and so forth. What she needed to do is, in her need, not run from Jesus, but run to Jesus. Because remember, last week's message, the basis upon which we are accepted is not our performance, but what Jesus did is. And even in the midst of temptation, we are reminded of the blood of Christ. We're reminded of the fact that we belong to Him. We remind ourselves that we are the righteousness of God. And we stand on that in the midst of the temptation until we begin to ask ourselves, what in the world am I doing as a child of God and a daughter of God doing this that displeases Him? We invite the presence of God. You know, there are some of you here who have to take the baggage that you have and all that stuff, and you have to be willing to open that suitcase in the presence of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. During the time of the Reformation, there was a man who was actually a musician. He wrote music. His name was Martin Arcola. And he was a composer, and he lived during the time when there was the struggle between Catholics and Protestants, and he was a teacher in a Protestant school. And I want you to catch what he wrote. He says, though my sin were as great and as many as the hairs of my head, the grass of the earth, the leaves of the tree, the sand on the seashore, the drops in the sea, or the stars of heaven, yet I would not fall into despair, but I would run to the great indulgence chest, namely the grace and the overwhelming mercy of God. Run to Jesus. Don't walk. Run to Jesus. Now, your Bibles are open. The battery on your cell phone is still working. We're in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want you to notice something. At the beginning of the 8th chapter, you have the story of the woman who, it says in verse 3, was caught in adultery. She was brought by these men, and she was brought to Jesus and said, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone such. What do you say? I just absolutely smile at Jesus Christ's answer. He says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Sure, I'll keep the law. But if you haven't committed a similar sin, pick up some stones and start throwing them at her. Once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning at the older ones. They all filed out. Catch this. The woman was caught. For her, that was a gift. There is a gift of being caught, exposed in the presence of Jesus, because that's how healing helps. The men also were caught. They were caught. But they walked away with their masks fully intact. We may be guilty of the same thing, but so they walk out. Do you realize the contrast? Here's a woman who hears the words of Jesus, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. Wow. Here are self-righteous people. We don't have any addictions. No. We judge all those people, you know, all those people who struggle with their sexuality and so forth. We judge them. Those are who we are. The fact is, what Jesus is saying is some of these people, in honesty, are exposed in my presence, and they come with their bag of shame. And I enter into their world, and I bring the deliverance that they need. But you know, the people who walk away with their masks, they go back to their little hideaway, unchanged. Remember what I said at the beginning? Grace enters open doors, not closed hearts. Jesus comes to where we are and says, why don't you find a secret place somewhere? Find time, take out an hour of your life and just open the suitcase. We'll look at it together. We'll bring healing, we'll bring hope, and I'll set you along the right path. Many struggles, but I'll walk with you on your journey. Now, where are you today? Do you receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, or do you live with the illusion that you don't need his forgiveness, you don't need his grace, or you're a believer, but you're still living with the illusion that you can manage it yourself? Let's pray together. And as I pray, I just want you to say this. Whatever God has talked to you about, would you talk to him about it, please? Father, we pray today that this word may break open in the lives of people issues that have never been addressed. Help them, Father, to take time during this week to get alone and to say, God, I'm going to open it all up and I'm going to expose it to you. Because like this woman, I want to hear, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Oh, Father, do that in all of our hearts. And even as we remember the Lord's death, help us to remember that he said, this do in remembrance of me. My life was given for the forgiveness of many. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you have found this program a blessing, if this message has touched your heart, perhaps you've even come to saving faith in Christ as a result of it, we'd love to hear from you. Go to the website moodymedia.org, moodymedia.org, and there you'll find that you can communicate with us. We'd love to be able to hear your story. And also thank you to the many of you who support this media ministry, because without you, we could not do what we are doing for the glory of God. You've just heard part of a series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience, preached here at the Moody Church with the desire that we will experience the transformation in our lives that only God is able to bring about.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Truth That Hurts and Heals, another in a series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, we look to the book of 1 John, for a lesson on walking in the light. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.